Welcome to Raising Your Spirits. Our hope is to help you make positive changes by providing guided messages from Spirit. Tuning forks, crystals, and distance healing are how we pass those messages from Spirit to you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your vibrational growth with us. Your host for Raising Your Spirits, Tony Jenness.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Tuning In with Tony. Today, we're going to be talking about the all-important topic, and I hear so much of this. I have many, many people that have come to me over the years, and they're really wrestling with this particular topic. I think we touched on it, but we're going to do a deeper dive in this because it keeps coming up for people. Spirit says there's still some people not understanding what the forgiveness is all about from an energetic perspective. So we're going to be talking about that. Of course, today's color is orange. If you have any orange crystals, even if you have an orange, just the color itself is very good. So orange is like a childlike color. And it goes through so much in that way. It's a very playful color. But the theme is all about persistence. Being able to keep going again and again. And this is one thing that people wrestle with quite a bit, is the elements of forgiveness that won't come right away. Believe me, it is a long process. And it takes a lot of perseverance to really keep that in mind. Before we get started, this is all brought to you by Higher Self. It's a series of teachers that have been brought together to be able to teach you and be able to use in practice how to keep your vibration high in so many ways. It's always been like that over the last 20 years. There's always been very delicate nudges and so on. As we start to get into this era, this is where we are transforming. So there's not a lot of additional time to be able to just put things off. So what does that mean for us? We have to start to get rid of things that we are no longer using. Clothes that you wore 25 years ago, thinking that you're going to fit into them again, they have to go. Even if the ambition is to fit into them, that would be great if that is your goal. But Spirit would much rather have you go shopping for new clothes rather than fitting into your old self. I hope that makes sense. That's really what we're trying to teach and what we're really trying to amplify in all of our teachings is that if we are looking at that, how do we raise that vibration so we automatically get these insights? We can do this through personal tuning sessions when people come in. We can do it through readings. Extra insight that you get sometimes will put your path in a different direction. We can use it in courses and workshops that we have, whether it's feng shui, sound therapy. We have a course that just came out on tuning yourself. And we're also working on one of the newest projects, which I'm really excited about, is water intelligence. And that's healing through water. We do it through tuning sessions. So a person comes in, we can give them a tuning session. And so I'm really into that. So we'll give you more information when that starts to come out. Let's talk a little bit about forgiveness. What is it? How come we're going through all of this? Before we really get into this, I just wanted to ask anybody, does anybody have any animosity towards their parents of what they did when you were younger? Realize that in studies show that the vast majority of people did not have the childhood that they perhaps really wanted. Were missing something, whether it was attention, they were missing their love, they were missing so many things. In many cases that we have seen, people that come in for various sessions, they are always looking at their parents, at how it started, and then it went to their coaches and their teachers and so on. But there's a level of forgiveness that they say, you know, you don't know what they did to me, and I really cannot forgive. Because how do you forgive the unforgivable, right? How do you get to that point? The first thing is you need to look at whether or not what you're doing after all these years, is it working? Most times we see that people are blaming. Well, it's my parents' fault that I couldn't get a good education. My coach's fault for not letting me get through a chance where I could have been a pro athlete. And there's always someone to blame. They're always complaining about something. One of the things we have to realize is that as we are doing that, we start building up a level of resentment of someone else has something more because they had a better life or they had a more fortunate life. What we see in reality is a lot of the millionaires and billionaires started really poor. Their parents didn't have anything. One of the ones that come to mind right away is Tony Robbins. I mean, he's a multi-billionaire, you know. However, he didn't start that way. He's a big man, 6'5" or 6 or something like that. I think he's even taller than that. When he started, he had nothing. He's a big man, so he had to no choice to go to all-you-can-eat buffets to survive. Because, you know, here's a guy that found a place for $10, all you can eat. And he says, thank God, because he went back 4 times. Make sure, you know, he could really support himself. And it was really difficult for him. So it was because of that difficulty. And he went through like 3 fathers. He went through a lot of abuse. And there was so many reasons why he could have pointed at that, that that's why I'm not successful. And he didn't do that. He just says, what do I have? What can I offer? I know I can be successful, and I know I can offer something to other people that's worth paying for. And that's what he constantly said to himself. So he just kept going and going. So it's that level of perseverance. And it wasn't until he was later in his years, he started realizing that when he started just to let go of how he was raised, what happened when he was younger, that's when things started to really move for him. He didn't use the excuse, because certainly you have the excuse. After 3 fathers and being kicked out of the house when you're 13 and you're on the streets at 13, imagine. I don't even know what I was doing when I was 16. I was probably still, like, I can't imagine being on the street. I've had a very fortunate life in comparison, and it's still been tough. However, the point is that when you are complaining and you are blaming, is that working for you? I mean, when you're going through that shift, I think by now, I think any woman over 40, you know, going through various relationships, I think by now, many of them, we got to try something new, right? It's not something that is really fixated, because what you want to do is when you are holding on to that resentment, there's almost an inner understanding somehow. It's not really that clear, but there's some kind of an inner energy that says, if I resent someone, that means that they aren't approved by me. And then that is wanted, that's what they need, right? This is what they need. So I have something over them. My resentment is somehow hurting them. That's the belief. That's not reality, of course. Nothing you do resentful-wise or blaming-wise or complaining-wise is hurting anybody but yourself. In other words, it's just like drinking poison and looking at the other person waiting for them to get sick and die. Because it's all coming to us. We are the ones that are putting ourselves through that, and it's not helping or hurting the other person. That's the thing, is that we want that to be able to really shift. So what is it when we are really thinking about someone that isn't who we are, because it's not something that they deserve to be forgiven. They do not deserve to be forgiven. So the question is, do I deserve to have peace? That's kind of what it comes down to in the end, when everything boils down to something. Do I deserve peace? Because I can't. We don't want to deal with the darker energies and so on, so we can't really give somebody pain. What we end up doing is we just give ourselves that. We give ourselves that pain. But as soon as you offer this sense that, okay, we have this negative story going and, you know, this is how I was treated, it's just unforgivable. And we come up with that story. And really what we're looking for is not so much solutions. We're looking for allies, aren't we? We're looking for someone who will feel sorry for us. Someone who will say, oh, wow, that's a terrible story. And just to build those allies. So it is a mild sense, not intentional, but is a mild sense of manipulation. In the sense that we want to say these stories of how we are justified to say, I don't forgive that person. That's kind of the rationale in many cases that we do. So it's like a loop. It happening again and again. So the question in the end becomes, are you open perhaps another approach? The Spirit is not asking you after all this time, if it's been this long, and you're still battling the fact that whether or not someone should be forgiven, even though cognitively you know it's not good for you, and you still do it, and that it is doesn't hurt them, but we still do it as humans overall. The question many people will ask at this point will be to say, why do I have to go through this again? I mean, Why don't other people be accountable for hurting me? Why is it that they can hurt me? This is a quote from a client recently. Why do they can do anything they want with me, but I'm the one that has to go through the peace and I got to go through all this and there's nothing for them? Why do I have to go through it? When we start complaining and when we start having this in our energy, it's in our aura. It's a very, very powerful sack of energies in a sense. It's a very powerful energy around us and it's this aura that we are keeping. Resentment is in there. That means we are attracting more of that. You know, sometimes people will come in and will notice that there's a tractor, let's say, in their aura, or there's a cow, and then we see some chickens, and then we see a dog running and stuff. I said, do you have a farm by any chance? Matter of fact, I grew up in a farm. In other words, all the stuff that your experiences are is in this aura. That's what they're reading in some cases. That's not always what I'm reading. I'm reading something deeper, but it is sort of a culmination of many things. And aura is, of course, one of them. And one of the things is that we say, why do we have to go through this forgiveness part? Because what Spirit is saying is, in the end, this is why, or many reasons why we come back, is because we want to learn what it's like for someone to do whatever they can to us. And oddly enough, when we are in non-physical, before we come into a physical body, we say to somebody, okay, in this next life, you're going to be my mom. I want you to be the worst mom ever because I want to be able to show my resilience that I'm not going to take on the energy that you're going to give me. Do we have a deal? Yeah, I'll make sure I am the worst mom ever. All right? And that's how we kind of come in. So we go into that family thinking, okay, I'm going to get this experience and I'm going to get through this. Only to find out that we forget that we made this sort of alliance and we say, I've had the worst mom ever. I'm never going to forgive her. We hold on to that for 50 years. That isn't the point. The point was, that was the deal. Because when you both get back into non-physical, what happened? I don't know. I just hung on to it. Okay, well, let's try it again. And that's how it kind of works, folks. Any unlearned thing that you go through, that you still have to get through, is only going to be repeated. Any life that you have gone through, that you've given pain for other people, you're going to come back to see if we can turn that around to make you more of a loving person than you were of an angry person. And we could do that in one lifetime. We could actually do that in the same lifetime. We've heard of cases where people start out extremely angry and then end up the most gentle person ever, regardless of size. You could learn this, and as soon as it's learned, it is then not repeated. Here's the main idea. When the mind starts thinking, the physical mind, it starts to say, okay, it thinks it's in charge, but it really isn't. It isn't in charge of anything. Your higher mind, your higher self, is in charge, orchestrating whatever hallway you have to go down, that is your destiny. So no matter what you do, they're going to select and orchestrate this hallway, which will be your life. And in that will be forgiveness issues. In that will be I am not enough issues. In that will be all these things that have done me wrong and so on and so on. You just have to get through all of that. And that's your destiny. What your physical mind does is you could do whatever you want. Going down this hallway. You could run down this hallway. You could walk. You could crawl. You could fly. You could check every doors, kick the walls on both sides. You have that choice. You can go through it happy. You can go through it angry. You can go through it poor. You can go through it rich, homeless, hopeless. It doesn't matter. They don't care because it's the hallway that's the issue here. You can select anything from there. Absolutely anything. So that's where our free will and our destiny, they actually come together. People think that they're two separate things. They are actually not. They're the same thing. So if you can envision this hallway as being your destiny, and whatever you do in that hallway, you could go down through with your park on, you could go down naked, it doesn't matter. Whatever you choose that you want to do that will make you whatever it is. So this is why we have so much power to manifest. We could manifest richness. We could manifest good health. We could manifest all these things. And if the health isn't optimal, then we could say, you know what? I know this is vibrational. This is something that's happened before. Okay, what's going on with my health? Let's say it's health. There's something going on with my health. I should be vibrant, and what am I holding on to? And then something will come up. And sometimes it'll be, well, because of forgiveness. Oh, we did that again. I don't want to talk about it. And it's all more burying, right? You got to be careful of the burying, because anything on this planet and anything you bury vibrationally grows. Everything. You plant a seed, it grows. You know, everything that we bury will end up growing. And if it's something negative, it's going to grow as well. So this is the thing. When we look at the deeper ends of this, it will always produce the results of what it is that we're working on. And if it's forgiveness, and many times there is always a level that someone is working on, some level of forgiveness, that whatever way I was treated wasn't justice, this has nothing to do with justice, or that you were right, you were treated unjustly. If you need to hear that, they are agreeing, absolutely. But we had to set that up to see if you're able to let that go. Now, when we let that go, what on earth does that mean? So when a person is not willing to forgive, they need to be aware that they have detrimental effects on many levels of their physical health, mental, and so on. And if we don't sort of let anything go, here's the effect. So let's give you a quick lesson about how all this works in terms of energy, real quickly. Heaven itself is not a place. It's not external, as we've been led to believe by the churches and various beings. But whatever it is, it's not a place. It's a consciousness. It's a vibration. It's a dimension. You are in heaven right now. There is a part of you that is down here as a small part of your soul that's down here, but it's also in heaven. So you are actually in heaven. It is a vibration. It is a level of consciousness that we can connect to or not connect to if we choose so. The more we are away from this vibration, the more we don't understand ourselves, and the more that we are feeling more connected. We don't really feel connected when we are away from it. We think that we are connected by things, technology and things, but that just has your attention. That has nothing to do with connectivity. It has your distraction time. So this is where it all happens. But there's actually no separation between you and your creator. Some of you already know that. But there's also no separation between humans, between me and wherever you are. There's many people from different parts of the globe, and there is no separation. Even quantum physics says we are right actually next to each other. There is no distance between us. This is why distance healings work, because there's no distance. There's only the perception of separation, which again, we have been taught since birth. But there's no separation. We are all the same. We have the same blood. We have the same. Everything is the same. So when you are unwilling to forgive another person, in a sense, on a deeper level, you are unwilling to forgive yourself. And you know that it's detrimental, and you do it anyway. So it's a double whammy, all right? So this doesn't mean that the people that do you wrong, they deserve your forgiveness. You need that more than you do. They do. It's a part of you that when it keeps poking you, and as long as it keeps hurting, it will continue. It's when that you have learned that I'm going to let that go, doesn't matter, whatever happened, it's over, it's done, and you don't need to give it another thought. It's not even about thinking it away, like I want to forget about it, because that's part of burying. It's the fact that, oh gee, it wasn't in my energy. It wasn't in my energy at all. How many people are thinking about their grade 3 teacher? How many people are thinking about their neighbor that threw garbage over their fence or something onto your property? Anybody thinking about it? No. Only until I mentioned it, oh yeah, or no, I'm not thinking about the beach, or I'm not thinking about the zoo or anything. It's not about forgetting. It's about the fact that it's not in our thoughts anymore. It's not a deal. If I think about it, yeah, I do remember that. I do remember it, but yeah, I've let that go. Whatever it is, I have learned that it's just going to harm me anyway, so there's no point in spending any time on it. But it has neurological backlashes. It has psychological things that it does to us. It affects your immunity. It affects your mental awareness. It affects your emotional intelligence. It affects your fuse, as they call it. This is how people just spur up and they get angry real fast. Their fuse gets very short. Not much room at all to wiggle. Somebody could spill milk on the counter and they go ballistic. It's like, it's okay. We have a rag. We could just wipe it up. It's all good. But people say, no, that shouldn't have happened. And they take it away. It's not the milk. As they say, the straw that broke the camel's back is this, that what is all that other stuff that only a straw was able to do that? Is this because we kept holding on to it? So look at some of the things you're holding on to. Forgiveness, or the ability to hold on to something, some trauma that you had, and your whole life you're trying to show that you now are a good person. For instance, if the trauma had something to do with something that you feel helpless, or you felt violated, or if you felt laughed at, ridiculed, whatever the case is, if you're holding on to it, that is not an energy that you were designed to hang on to it, just to experience it. It's just like a strawberry going through a straw, you know? The strawberry can block it if we stop the movement, right? It just goes through. So we were never meant to be bottles, to be containing this stuff, holding on to this stuff. We were never meant to be bottles. Spirit says we were always meant to be straws. I feel the anger. Oh, there it comes, and there it goes. Goodbye, you know. It just let it go through. But some people, they hang on to that stuff like we're chipmunks. One thing that comes to mind is I was reading and watching one interview on a rancher. You know how we're ranchers? They have these sometimes hundreds of thousands of acres of land, and they have cows or horses going through them. You know, we all have certain boundaries on our property, fences and so on. Over the years, people have realized that if one of their cows or cattle gets through one of the fences onto their neighbor's property, and it isn't branded. In other words, there's no identification marks on the cow that it's even yours. Then you end up losing a cow. So in the beginning of the season, they brand all of their cattle so that if it does get lost, they know it's theirs. And what they do is they put it in fire, really, really hot, put it on there, on the animal, just so it could burn and etch into it. But it's not meant to be there for 2 hours. You can only imagine the damage it does. It's only meant to just basically scar the surface. And that's okay, because that will heal. I'm told that if you keep that branding on too long, and this is the real danger when you have hundreds upon hundreds of cattle, you got to get somebody that knows what they're doing in branding. Because if you leave it on too long, what happens? That will turn into, let's say, third-degree burns, which then very quickly turns into infection. And you could end up losing your entire cattle, everything, if they all get infected. You can't keep up with it. They will just die like flies. So it has to be just for a certain amount of time. Boom, okay, they're done. Boom, they're done. It's all about short-term timing. Reason Spirit's bringing this up, because this is kind of like having the forgiveness brand. Boom, there's your forgiveness. And you're just saying, no, hang on. I'm not ready. I'm not going to let this go. And what it does, it'll actually infect you. It actually, that on there for too long isn't geared for your energy. Some people will hold on to a trauma, and it's all respected, the fact of why they're doing it. So this isn't the reason of why they're hanging on to it. Realize that it's been through a tough time. They've been through horrific situations. But it isn't about that. It isn't because how are we going to preserve ourselves now that this has happened to our body? It's bad enough that it happened in the first place. Why are we torturing ourselves by holding on to it? Years ago, I heard this one interview from a lady. I don't know why I keep remembering this. This was literally 30 years plus ago. But it somehow made an impact on me because I never heard it phrased the way she said it. She says, when I was a teenager, I was raped going home. And I realized very soon on that every time I thought about it, that act would happen again and again. Then I finally made the decision that I am not going to have this person hurt me anymore. And that somehow hit me. One act, but it's the thousands of times that creates the damage, that you replay it again and again. You can only imagine. And she was a young girl, and nobody told her to think that way. But it was just that phrase is that every time I think about it, he does it again. And he doesn't deserve that. And I thought that was probably the most intelligent way to look at trauma, in such a way that she loved herself so much that she stopped thinking that way and made it, how can I turn this into something of value? And then she was involved with various charities for abuse and so on. But she wanted to do some great things because of it. Didn't hold on to the branding so she could get infected. And that was incredible. One of the definitions of lack of forgiveness is that this is where, if a person is mentally and they're very healthy in their thoughts, they can freely let go of the grievances from others. That takes quite a skill, to be able to have someone do something to you and right away, no problem. It's just like any dog. They're much like this, and many animals too. They don't hold grudges, but their ability to remember is very high. Like an elephant will never forget something that happened to them when they were baby. And they could live for, 20, 30 years and more. But the point is, they won't have on any animosity. Like, they won't want to get back at you. They'll be very cautious, yes. But like the dog that was chained up for 8 years, I read an article on that. Dog was chained up for 8 years, and this lady kept going past the house, and the dog was there literally all the time. Winter, summer, the dead of heat, minus 40 below, the dog was chained to this doghouse. Nobody seemed to care. And she just kept saying, geez, I would love to take you home, but realized that it just wasn't one of those things. But the dog was chained up for 8 years, and then when the owners left, believe it or not, they just left, leaving the dog behind. After all that time, they just left the dog, just to probably die. So when she found out the owners left, she took the dog, figuring that, okay, I'll just keep the dog with me until they come back, if they come back, and just take care of it. Eventually, it ended up being her dog, because she manifested the same thing that, no matter what the trauma was, didn't bring anger into it. Like, how could somebody do such a thing? She'd never called on the city, because the city knew anyway. Neighbors knew. Of course, it's barking all the time, so everyone is aware of it. All she wanted was, I want to take you home, and I can see you in my house, that you're going to relax. And the dog just couldn't believe that he could go inside. It took her, I think, 2 days to bring the dog indoors, because it was getting raining and cold. And he says, I'm not going to treat you like the others treated you. And it took a while, but again, dogs don't hold a grudge. They'll just try it, and when they realize it's okay, they get to love again. Now, what would happen if they did that to a human? Forget 8 years. Put a person out for 8 days and they won't forgive you for life. In other words, animals have this ability just to let things go naturally. We're the only species that kind of do that, that hold on to things. There's four different people that you need to forgive when it comes to grudges and tendencies to be that way. Number one is your parents. And even if they are both passed, just vibrationally, just say something like, I know you were part of my journey, and I know I picked my parents, so there must have been an agreement of some kind for you to do what you did. And I want to thank you. You did an amazing job. For a long time, I held on to it until I realized that it wasn't for me to do. So I want to thank you for making this aware, because once I can really master this forgiveness, I will never have to go through that again. And I love my future lives for doing that. Next one to look about forgiveness is forgiving others. No matter what they did to you, coaches, teachers, neighbors, friends, family, other family members and things. Again, we don't have to say sorry to them and expecting for them to accept your apology. It has nothing to do with that. These are all inner work stuff, okay? I don't want you to get the idea you got to start calling people. No. It's all about the fact that, okay, they did me wrong, okay, and I got to find some way to be okay with that. And how do I find my answers to be able to do that? Spirit doesn't want to give you too many examples because you're going to come up with a few of your own that works for you. And that's the point. Because that's the one that's crippling us. Physically, mentally, emotionally, all of that. It's somehow putting the sticks in your bicycle spokes, as they say. You know, it was bad enough we got hurt. Let's not continue it by remembering it and playing it over and over again and hurting us ourselves again and again. The third person to really thank, or not so much thank, is just to be aware of the forgiveness is yourself. To all the crazy, stupid, harebrained things that we did as teenagers, touching electric fences, putting our tongue on a frozen pole, a steel pole or something, all those crazy things that we did, just forgive yourself for it. There was a lot of things I am not proud of. But you know what? It's okay, because I was in that crazy energy and I thought I could get away with all kinds of things. And obviously, here I am. I guess I did. But you just forgive yourself. It's okay. There are some things I did inadvertently that offended some people. But I think I took the proper steps to amend those things. So I just forgive myself for that. So for that, I forgive myself for anything I've caused that getting through that. And I hope whatever I might have been able to hurt someone else in some way without my knowledge, that they would be at a point where they could let that go. So I'm sending light to those people. And of course, the last one is, if you are fully aware that you have hurt somebody and all these years you just wanted to hold off and just say the heck with it, it's done is done. Maybe if you can find a way to say the sorry thing, I'm sorry for what I did. It wasn't meant to hurt anybody. It was just the way it was. When Spirit says that, be also aware that because they are holding on to that trauma, you're not looking for approval. All you're saying, I just want you to be aware that I am aware of it and I am sorry if it caused you any pain. And that's it. That is all that you need to do. In other words, don't wait for, oh, it's okay, Tony. What you did hurt me, but I forgive you. I'm not looking for their forgiveness either. I'm not looking for their approval. I just have to get it off my chest that I did this to you. And anything after that is, if you say you accept my apology, well, that's fine, but I wasn't looking for it. Because Spirit does not want you to be expecting someone from someone else to give you peace. So in other words, don't look for approval or, yeah, I accept your apology. It's just that you could just say, look, no matter what it is, you just say that no matter how it happened, I am sorry, and I just wanted you to know that. I hope you and your family have a good time and make it short. But if they say, you know what, doesn't matter, from there you can just stop listening because you're not looking for a yes or a no or maybe, let me think about it. No, it has nothing to do with that. I just had to do this for me. Because when I'm forgiving, I'm doing it for me, not for the other person. I'm not saying that mom or dad did something bad to me, and then I'm waiting for them to say, oh, I'm so sorry, I just was going through a time that I had problems of my own and didn't know how to raise you and all that stuff. But really, when Spirit says that they sent a spirit down to them, they were in charge of keeping you alive, basically. How did they do? So that's the minimum, just keeping you alive, or you found some way to keep yourself alive, even if it wasn't for them. But it's all about that inner work, that no matter how I was treated, and sometimes the really horrendous ones, they have such a beautiful ending. And you would figure it would be the opposite, right? The horrendous ones would have, oh my God, let me give you a list of all the things that went wrong in my life. Yeah, it's not a contest. It's not about how much trauma you've gone through, but it is about how much you can get through and sort of end with love and be okay with that. And that's really the point. In this meditation, what I want you to do, it's going to mention a couple of things through its dialogue, but when it gets quiet and it's just the soundtrack, you can just hear the tuning forks and the music and so on. There's one example you could see yourself doing. Is that there's this hallway that you can go down, that hallway that they are referring to. And halfway there, there's a glass wall. Like it completely covers the whole hallway. It's glass. And you come upon this glass, and let's say it's the way of forgiving somebody, and you're still having some issues with it, and that's okay. But it's this glass wall that it won't let you go any further. What I want you to do is in this dimension, you have this cloak on, you have this, it's a wrap. Now, I'm seeing it as red or orange or whatever color you see, but it's like a cloak. As you're going through it, you can just say, I forgive, and then go right through this glass wall to the other side. But the cloak, the coat, stays on the other side of the glass. That represents your past. And then you can just keep going. To open up this thing inside of you that makes you limitless. And this is where strength comes from. You have no idea where. You'll have all kinds of insight. There'll be four or five options to do something where before you couldn't even think of one. And it's this key, it's this gift that you are given. Each one of us are given this. In this particular meditation, what we want you to do is this light that is inside of you, we want you to send light out of the top of your head, like one of those show lights that they see in Hollywood, Academy Award light, okay, if I'm describing this properly, and have it go towards the universe that's coming back, because the universe is always sending light to you. And we want you to meet them halfway. Your light's going up, your universe is coming with their light towards you, and when they connect, is you blend that light of the universe in you, and then that light will come back to you in its most purest form, but it also comes back because you've sent something out. Tenacity is about getting out of yourself so that the mind has no way to enter. That's why we want you to send out light through the top of your head, because your mind does not understand that. Mind can't creep in because you're doing something totally against what it knows in this life. Then what we want you to do is, once you got whatever message you got of how to keep moving forward no matter what happens, if it's a business challenge, if it's a family challenge, whatever's going on, how do we keep moving forward is the question that we need to ask. And then once you've got those answers, what we want you to do is, this time in the intersection of those two lights that are above you, halfway when the universe and your light meets, we want you to send a beam of light to a loved one. Someone who is down, who has their head down, who's really having a hard time, who's struggling with many things. And send light to them so that they can find their key in that way. When you do that, and you feel that that's been done, see, keep in mind, you're not sending your own energy to these people. You're sending universal energy to them, which makes it more empowering for you. Then we want you to send that light to your neighbors. People left and the right of you, maybe down your street, but basically your neighbors. We also want you to send it to all the animals in that area. All the groundhogs, all the rabbits, any land animal. If there's a little lake, send it to the fish, all the birds, anything that flies. So you're sending that energy to any living thing in that neighborhood. And then breathe in white light. And when you breathe out white light, how does that feel? That your energy is now somehow impacting these living things, including humans. Then send it to your township. If you have a little township in that area, send it to all those people and all the living things in there. Then send it to a city, whether it's Ottawa, Gatineau, wherever you are, Prince Edward Island. We have people in New York, and we have people in Copenhagen. Send it to that city, then send it to the country, then the continent, then send it to the world. Like that, just sort of keep expanding your energy. We'll talk about what this does to your energy, because now you get out of your system. You get out of your system that the mind doesn't understand this. That's why it's going to work. When your beam of light goes up, have it connect, send that light to you first. The light that comes back to you, just send out a gratitude thing. Thank you very much for this energy. I really needed this at this time. And now because I'm topped up, I'd like to send it to other people that might need it as well.
Where in the body do we take it in to ask the questions?
It usually goes to your heart because the heart is connected to the universe in that way. But yeah. What we're trying to do is we're sending that light back to the universe. So you're meeting him halfway. The soul star is your light, basically. All right. So it comes out of the top of your head in this soul star and then keep going the other way.
Tony?
Yes?
You know how you said one family member? Can you send the light to?
Absolutely. Send it to one for now that is most needed. And then after that, send it to all of them. Even if they're family members that you're not getting along with, and that because it's not about judgment, whatever strife there might be within a family, and all of us have seen our relationship with our family changes. You know, sometimes we had a very hard time with our parents, but after a while, now the relationship is different. For those people that are having a really tough time are probably the ones that are very aggressive and judgmental now. The reason they are is because they're in darkness. If you send them light, you can see, perhaps. Now, what they do with it is still their choice, but the thing is, you're not in that position where you're judging. You're going to send it to them anyway and let them deal with it. Now, some people have mentioned that when the music starts, they can't hear the tuning forks, and that's okay. Because they're not forks that are necessarily that you need to hear, because this works on deaf people as well, unborn children. It's all about vibration. It's about energy. So just make the experience, and if you do fall asleep, it's okay. Take a nice deep breath, and I want you to really fully feel that you are an incredible and essential part of this earth, that you're here to contribute something, that you're here to make an impact in an energetic way, to be able to move forward, and we're not going to stand in our own way. We're going to be impactful just by remaining who we are. Because there's no fear, there's only love and appreciation. I want you to start from the top of your head and relax your scalp, relax the inside muscle, and you can feel as you're moving down from your head that your eyes on the inside are starting to relax. If you were tired a moment ago, this is what that energy needs, is that element of just being with yourself. You're not susceptible to the negative influences of anything. You take a nice deep breath and you blow out. You'll start to feel your cheeks and your tongue, your throat relax. The shoulders, move them around a little bit just to relax them. We put the world on those things because of obligations, because of worry, because of the fact that we have to do well if we're going to be achieving something. It's not so much that. It's just relaxing so your brilliance can come out. It's not about pushing something through. It's about letting something break through. And as that energy comes down your arms, right to the end of your hands, put little openings at the end of your fingertips so that energy can come out. So if there's anything locked in your wrist, in your joints, in your elbows, it can just go right through like water. And as your arm fills up and overspills into the cavity of your chest, breathe in and just relax your chest, your heart, and your lungs. Everything tightens up in that chest area very quickly. Spirit says we just need to take life a little less seriously. Things are important, yes, but it doesn't have to be so serious where we can tighten up. Things will work out on its own much easier when we're in a calm state. In your stomach, your spleen, your gallbladder, as you're moving down your body, just tell everybody to relax. Although you may not feel it, know that they're listening. Your adrenals, this is the part that kicks in when you need that extra surge of power. It's the NOS in your body. Down your hips, thighs, your knees, right to the end of your feet. Put two openings on the bottom of each feet about the size of a hockey puck so energy can come out. So anything that has been stagnant or doesn't need to be there, you now have the exhaust opening where it can leave on its own. We'll see you in about 10 minutes.
slowly come out of the state that you're in. Just take a look at your light that's coming in through the top of your head. Just breathe that light in. It's now coming in through the top of your head. And when you're ready, I want you to go to the very top of this skylight and close the window. Once the window is closed, take a last look at that light coming in through the inside of your head, looking out. The soul star is now back where it was. Now, in some way, you are much more resilient. Your tenacity is so much higher because you're not letting your mind dictate where you are based on what's happening on this earth. I'd rather connect it to something else. Take a nice deep breath. Make your way back to the room. Just before you fully come out of this state, know that you're amazing. All of you are bred to be successful. The energy doesn't have to be learned. It's inside of you. We just have to remove the things that prevent it from coming out. These large achievements that you do, that in the beginning seem so insurmountable, to get a part in a Broadway stage, to be top of your league in your business, to be the best in your industry, to be the best mom, the best dad, to be the best is inside of you. You're discovering yourself through this obstacle, so thank it. When we push obstacles away, isn't it interesting that more comes? The last thing the energy of an obstacle would ever figure on is you thanking it and welcoming it. Give it the gratitude because it's made you stronger, more resilient. Slowly come back. Take a few more breaths. And when you're ready, you may open your eyes.
Thanks for listening to Raising Your Spirits. If there is a subject you would like to hear in a future podcast or would like to book a session with Tony, reach out at lovehigherself.com. Join the Facebook group, Tuning In with Tony, or attend group tuning classes with Tony in his online virtual weekly classes. You can also access the YouTube channel, Raising Your Spirits with Tony. Until next time, namaste.